Tamapotaka, Maori Development Ministers with us. Hi, Tama, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, down this time. You caught me before breakfast, mate.
Damn. Very good. Very good. It's, you know, we want to keep you on your toes, Tama.
Yes.
Maori businesses and organisations are playing an increasingly important role in regional and national economic development, Tama. Where do you see the biggest opportunities for Maori economic growth over the next decade? And what needs to happen to unlock that potential, Tama?
Well, a couple of observations, Dale, and thank you for this absolutely fantastic question. Number one, get rid of some of the red and green tape and enable people to make decisions and get on with developing our land, developing our resources. For example, there's about 13, 14,000 applications waiting at the Māori Land Court for a decision. And for me, that's whānau who can't get on their land. That's whānau who can't develop their land and create produce and feed their own whānau, let alone feed the world through exports. So that's the first thing. Red and green tape must go. Second thing is there's a wide berth and a runway for Māori to get involved in infrastructure deployment across the country. The country needs infrastructure, and we not only have some resources, but we also have that long-term intergenerational investment horizon, Dale. That is huge because that enables some synergy and some synchronisation between what the government is sort of aiming to do and actually what iwi aim to do, part of the current and the future, the present and the future investments in the country to make New Zealand rock and roll. The third thing, Dale, is using our culture as a platform for cultural engagement throughout the world, but also for economic engagement, things like exports. And that's why I've been so committed to the Te Māori Kaupapa, getting alongside iwi and Māori organisations who are into exports and growth.
Well, tēnā koe. I mean, there are some interesting points you raised there. And whilst I don't think you'll find any disagreement about the opportunity for Māori to invest in infrastructural development, and particularly those who are moneyed up off the back of treaty settlements. But the government procurement policies, might you speak to that? There was a push to get 5% directed towards Māori-based companies. Is that ongoing? What's the commitment from the current government to procurement policies Māori?
Yeah, I acknowledge the mahi that the Honourable Nanaia Mahuta and the Honourable Willie Jackson, Penny Henare and others did around the supplier diversity goal and target. There continues to be extensive engagement of small, medium, Māori enterprises throughout the public service who are trying to procure goods and services from all sorts of organisations. So the actual procurement mahi is still going, albeit the specific target of 5%. Actually, I think it went up to 7.5% at one stage, is no longer. But actually, that mahi is still ongoing. So the government is procuring, and local government procures too, from a wide variety of organisations. Just look at the housing stuff, Dale. It's nearly $500 million under this government procured around housing on Māori land alongside iwi, whānau and other organisations. I think that's a good step in the right direction.
Tēnā koe, Tama Pōtaka with us today. There's been a lot of discussion about local government reform and Māori participation in decision-making. Tama, what would you say to those who are concerned that some of the proposed changes could reduce the influence of iwi and Te Māori voices in local government?
I think there's a genuine concern that Māori are not participating full stop, whether or not it's through the elections and through voting, having the opportunities to have bespoke or specific Māori representation in local government. But there continues to be Māori wards and Māori constituency wards and a number of councils throughout the motu. There continue to be a number of Māori councillors and Māori regional councillors who have put up their hands and actually come through the mainstream. And same thing with MPs, for example, people like Dan Bidois, who put up his hand to be the Northcote MP and was elected as a Northcote MP, albeit as a general electorate representative. So there continues to be representation. I think the other thing that's very important is that we make sure that those things that are critical to our identity, critical to our past and present, like Waihi Tapu, like Urupa, are protected through any RMA changes.
Thanks a lot. There's been a lot of talk about the efficacy of the Waitangi Tribunal, bearing in mind that it's become commonplace and successive governments have continued to ignore the findings of the Tribunal, which has only recommendatory powers, not binding powers. Is that the norm, to turn your back on findings, do you think? not just from this government, but from successive governments, to findings from the tribunal?
Big mickey out to people like Whetutitikata and Sullivan and Machidata, who got the tribunal moving, and of course the extension back to 1840 under the fourth Labor government. The tribunal has a very important function in our democracy. It holds the Crown and others, actually, to account over alleged breaches of the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi, but also not only looks at historical matters, but also contemporary matters. It has a very important function. It's an accountability measure, a commission of inquiry, and has a wide diversity of people on the tribunal. I just appointed Nick Wells and Rick Wheatonner, actually, to the tribunal, and I think they are fantastic candidates to actually raise the mahi and keep the mahi moving forward.
Yeah, with these new appointments, what role do you see it playing in the years ahead? How do you assess the current relationship between the Crown and Māori? I know they're slightly different issues, but
Yeah, a couple of different ones, but I'll respond to them in turn. I think the first thing is that the tribunal has a very, very important function, and it continues on five outstanding historical matters. I'm still waiting the report for Mōkai Pātea, by the way, Dale. The second thing is it is looking at a range of kaupapa inquiries which are more contemporary, and it's continuing to do that and chunking through it. My understanding is that the mahi of the tribunal is expected to likely close out in the mid-2030s, but certainly the historical mahi will be finished well before then.
Tēnā koe, thank you. I just want to touch on, the English being signed in as or confirmed as an official language. I'll be talking with Chris Hipkins later in the program too. There were people who were surprised that Labor backed it, but they said that they just wanted to get rid of it because it wasn't worth scrapping about in Parliament. I'm paraphrasing that. But what do you think of the need for that, and are you pleased that it has been signed in our legislative process?
Well, I just acknowledge that it was a coalition commitment that's been carried out, but I'll be using Te Reo Māori and English. Unfortunately, I'm not well versed in sign language, so I can't really use that easily myself, but I'll continue to use Te Reo Māori and English in the house and actually out and about when I go about my mahi. And I encourage everyone to give not only Te Reo Māori a go, but give it a real go. Join up with a course, go to the Wānanga o Aotearoa or any other place to learn more Māori and speak more Māori, because English is often used as the mainstream language. But Te Reo Māori has huge importance and advantage for our country. It's part of our DNA.
Just finally, the unemployment figures are going to be out today, and most are predicting that they'll sit around 5.5%. You and I both know, and all of our listeners know, that the Māori rate of unemployment far eclipses the mainstream, and that even the rate of inflation now outstripping any growth in pay packets. These are the most difficult times our people have endured, and in the midst of winter, reports as well that some of our old people are being forced to either keep warm or eat food. I mean, these are desperately difficult times, unlike what we have witnessed for a long time. Your thoughts, please.
I think it's accurate that there are some people doing it really tough. I think you might recall, Dale, under previous Labor government, under a previous Labor government, unemployment rates were over 20% for Māori. And we need to encourage more growth, such as some of the fast-track projects, which many iwi are participating in and leading. For example, out at Ōrākei, the Point Mission Bay, a retirement village being renewed and reimagined out at Takaparawhau, and the precinct development down in the centre of town, down at the downtown car park in Auckland, the Hananui Aquaculture Project way down south. All these economic opportunities that Māori are leading that generate job and trade training and a range of other opportunities for Māori, young, old, tribal or rural or urban. And that's why we're so geared towards enabling iwi and Māori organisations to not only launch these projects but also run long-term sustainable businesses.
Tēnā koe. And perhaps as the Minister of Conservation, you might touch on the importance to our nation of Molesworth Station now to be managed by Ngāi Tahu interests. How does that sit with you? What should we know? Because most of us don't visit Molesworth Station, although we're familiar with the fact that it's one of our largest high country stations, that there'll be Māori stewardship over this taonga.
Well, Molesworth Station is the largest farm in the country. It's bigger than the Stewart Island, Dale. It's about 186,000 hectares. The Department of Conservation has made a decision under delegation. They've chosen the strongest applicant, and my expectation is that this next stage of the process will be a negotiation between the department and Te Rūnanga o Ngāi Tahu through Ngāi Tahu Farming. They will uphold pest and weed objectives. It'll be important to preserve public access where suitable, and also land a commercial arrangement. Ngāi Tahu Farming has had an outstanding resume and curriculum vitae of success in farming, and I have high expectations.
Tēnā koe, I spoke about the avatar moth and the snails yesterday with a representative from Forest and Bird. Any thoughts about the Denniston Plateau and plans to mine it?
Well, yesterday I was up at the Auckland Zoo looking after frogs and skinks. That was my announcement, Dale. So there's an amazing array of biodiversity through this country, and it's important that we preserve and enhance it. I just acknowledge people who have been doing things in government and also across philanthropies and charitable organisations and Māori organisations like Tauraku Mara Pai Maunga, who are geared towards biodiversity in some of these fantastic and iconic places throughout the country.
Tēnā koe. Did that answer whether or not you think that Denniston should be mined?
Denniston should be mined. Well, I understand that there are many places on the west coast that are mined, and some of that mining collaboration happens with the whānau and hapū on the west coast, like Potini Naitau, Makaafio, and Arahura iwi members from Potini Naitau. They collaborate and co-invest with miners down that way.
Tēnā koe, Tama. Thanks very much for joining us. Plenty to talk about as we build up to November. Māori ora kia koe, Chief. Thank you.
Māori ora. Back to porridge, mate. Thanks
a lot.